Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. Coming to you from deep within the heart of the Spiral Zone, I'll be your host, Dave Trumbor. Joining me as always, he's one of Earth's most powerful soldiers. It's Sean Paul Ellis. How are you, sir?
David, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Unfortunately, Matt Barron cannot be with us tonight because he's riding the rails as a hobo, so we wish him well. we're going to offer up a toast, actually, the beginning of this episode, I think. Before we get into anything, we're going to offer up a toast, dear listeners. If you, like us, are in your 30s, like listening to nostalgic TV shows, especially the crazy, crazy cartoons that we like to talk about here on the show, but you find yourself parched or in need of a beverage to hold in your hand as you listen to our show, Sean and I are going to offer up some suggestions. So I'll let Sean tell you what he is enjoying tonight, and then I will tell you mine as well.
David, tonight I am drinking a KCCO Black Lager. It is from, evidently it's made by the same guys who do the Chive. And I have to confess, I have no idea what it is.
Oh, I thought you meant like a Chive beer at first. I was like, that sounds terrible.
No. It's a Black Lager. It's some website called the Chive.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it is. So I mean,
kids
I
today,
must confess,
they know.
I'm not sure. Evidently, they do funny videos and photos. I have no idea. All I know, they make a really good beer.
Good.
So congratulations to them. It is like exactly what I want. I don't like black lagers. This makes me love black lagers.
There you go. Well done, folks over at KCCO. And the Chive.
The Chive.
Yeah.
Dave, what are you drinking tonight?
KCCO The Chive sounds like a Kansas City radio station or something. Welcome to KCCO The Chive.
Air horn. Beep, 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 beep.
Nobody listens to radio anymore. What am I drinking? Yeah, I am drinking an Atlanta brew, Three Taverns Brewery. It is called the Feast Noel. It is that time of year where you should just drink holiday beers and Christmas ales and all kinds of toasty, roasty goodness. Every week, every weekend, whenever you want. Probably not at work, whenever you want.
Unless your work is cool with it.
Well, hey, man, I mean, if you work from home or you just work, you know, in a brewery, that'd be cool, too. But
take advantage of it.
No, this is a nice, it's a quad, so it's a little warming. It's about a 9%er, but it's nicely spiced. It's got a great nose and aroma to it, but check that one out if you're in the area. I don't know how far Three Taverns distributes, but pretty cool if you're in the Atlanta area. So there you go. There's Sean and Dave's beer suggestions for the Saturday Morning Cartoons podcast. Ooh, boy. I guess I will kick this one off. We already told you the
title.
We
are talking, I should apologize.
We should apologize to anybody listening.
Here's the thing. All right. Sometimes we make excellent choices on this podcast.
Rarely.
Sometimes,
it does happen.
Sometimes we make excellent choices.
I mean, it does. One out of every 30.
Give ourselves a little bit of credit here, all right?
Okay.
Sometimes we make excellent choices on this podcast
for
the show that we're going to watch.
Mm-hmm.
This week is an exception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is... There are things to
Guys,
be found in this
I
show, though.
Up. I'm sorry. I really – if you, dear listener, are watching these – at home, or if you're listening to this podcast and you're deciding whether or not you should watch this show.
Poor decision.
I am going to try my best to dissuade you from watching Spiral Zone.
Oh, that's interesting because I'm actually going to tell them to seek it out. I mean, not to pay for it, that's crazy, but to seek it out because this is something that, like, I don't remember ever really hearing anything about it. I don't remember the toys. I definitely didn't remember the theme song.
And after watching the show, I understand.
Well, but it is one of those weird ones, but it's similar to all the other shows we've talked about where they were like, hey, one season, 65 episodes. That's exactly what this one was again. One season, 65 episodes. It's strange that must have just been like the template of the time.
So, you know, here's the thing. You know, thankfully, there is a wiki that is dedicated to Spiral Zone. It is spiral-zone.com/Tonka. And they have a really great episode guide on all 65 of the episodes that are available. Now, the interesting thing about a lot of these is that a bunch of the episodes, and this is clearly what happens for a lot of these, is that, like, they're trying to get as many episodes out, so they're trying to squeeze as much, you know, blood from the stone as possible.
Oof.
And so there are a lot, like, towards the end of the run of the show, there are a lot of, like, clips shows where, like, they are rehashing, like, animation from previous episodes.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
In order to attempt to make some type of a cohesive narrative.
Oh, sure.
But I mean, as we're about to talk to you about, like, the cohesive, like, there's a very simple formula that we will get into on how every single one of these episodes unfolds itself.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. But Dave, tell us a little bit. I mean, you said 65 episodes, right? One season. Who created this clusterfuck of a nightmare?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of history to this background. The story itself of the plot within the show is more interesting, but Sean will touch on that in a second. This was 1987 American science fiction animated series produced by Atlantic and Kushner Locke. I've never heard of them before. I have no idea what else they did.
Yeah,
they
haven't popped up on this show. There's a reason.
Yeah, there's a reason for it. But just like many of the other 80s shows, this was based on a toy line. It was a Japanese company toy line. It was Bandai that made the toys. I think Tonka actually picked up the rights to it, if I'm reading that correctly.
I think so.
Yeah, I think they picked up the rights to it a little bit later on. And I'm not going to tell you too much about the plot right now, but that's where this came from. It was a company that wanted to sell toys, and they made the cartoon. That is just like part and parcel 95% of the shows that we've talked about already on this podcast. So that should not come as a surprise, neither should the quality of this mess. But I'm going to let Sean tell you kind of what the plot was about, because it's different somewhat. They've got some different twists from other shows we've talked about.
Excuse me. So this takes place in June 18th of 2007. I will say this. The history that they've created with a lot of this is very interesting. It's very specific.
Right.
So a scientist by the name of Dr. James Bent,
yes,
he hijacks a space shuttle to drop these things that are called zone generators.
Yep.
across like half of the Earth. And they're called spiral zones due to the shape or like the conical structure that they create once they hit the ground. You later find out that excuse me.
Everybody want to take a minute? And
yeah, no, I'm good.
Drink that KCCO Black Lager. Goes down smooth.
Just kills your throat. No,
Jesus. That's the chive they put in it.
I had a lot of hot sauce on pizza, okay. And so my... Sriracha. Delicious, or Frank's Red Hot, delicious on all occasions.
I wish these were all our sponsors, listeners, but they're not. They're just things we like to eat and drink, so there you go.
So people get trapped inside of these spiral zones. They are referred to as zoners, and it, like, you can tell because they begin to develop, like, they have like yellow eyes, they get like weird stoner eyes, and they have these like bizarre red patches that develop kind of like eczema,
yeah,
like giant swaths of eczema over their skins. And so it's just, you lose all like of like your free will,
right,
once you are exposed to a zone. The interesting thing is that once you leave a zone, it goes away.
Totally fine.
Like, you're totally fine. Yep. Like, the cure for this thing is just not
walk
doing
the fuck
this
out
thing.
Of it.
It's like when you go to a doctor and you're just like, you know, I'm having a real hard time, like, when I drink, like, milk. Like, I feel sick when I drink milk. And they're like, don't drink milk, dum-dum. Like, that's how this works. Like, you know, it's like,
no,
saying,
why didn't,
like,
I think of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's such common sense, like, crap. But you lose your will to be able to do this. And plus, also, when you're inside of the zone, like, you are very susceptible to influence.
Right.
And so somebody can, like, say something to you, and then you will, like, you will begin to do that.
Oh, who like, would do something so, like that to people?
Oh, it would be Dr.
Oh, Ben, how about that?
Who now becomes known as Overlord.
Because,
and so
the hubris,
what a fucking name.
This asshole.
Yeah.
My God, the arrogance.
What gall.
My goodness.
What gall, this motherfucker. So, like, he begins to build, like, these, like, slave army, which you have to think to yourself, like, if you're enslaving a group of people, mm-hmm, that basically have like the symptoms of like common cold, eczema, and like pink eye.
Yeah, pink eye basically.
Like,
yeah,
that's a shitty army.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really
it's
shitty
like a
army.
Plague army. Which is, I mean, that's, you know, it's worthwhile for some things, but not the best army on the block, that's for sure.
Yeah.
There are no zone riders.
So he has has Overlord, which is now former Dr. James Bent. Mm-hmm. He has a group of followers that are called the Black Widow, which we'll get into in a little bit. Right. They are immune to the effects of the zone due to a special device that they all have. In order to combat this problem of the zones, we have five soldiers. Now, I want you to think about this. I'm going to pause.
Okay. Let's get yourself right together. Yeah.
It's not. I'm not actually pausing. I'm taking a knee right now and just thinking about this because it's like, look.
Just gather close, everyone.
Over half of the world has been affected by these zone generators. Right. And we send in five fucking soldiers? Are you out of your goddamn mind?
It's like the Planeteer effect. Or like Mask. Yeah. Even Mask had like a half dozen characters.
Had Captain Planet where they were like, we're going to summon this like super thing from our rings. Yeah. Like, you know, these guys are just like, we're just not going to pay attention to shit ever.
They're just like the one volunteer from each continent that showed up and was just like, I'll totally just ride this unicycle in there and fight stuff.
Oh God. It's
hey, but you know what, Sean? They are Earth's most powerful soldiers.
Say, oh, my you want to take a knee, buddy?
Man,
you
I should stop drinking this delicious beer from Three Taverns.
Three Taverns beer will tie the shit out of you.
They are Earth's most powerful soldiers, and they are Earth's last chance to fight the Spiral Zone.
They are. So here, I got into this show because I randomly found the theme song on Tumblr one day when I was looking at different cartoons and I was trying to find and generate like more cartoons for us to look at. And I love sci-fi like cartoons to begin with. And so, you know, when I saw this, it made me get reminiscent for Exo Squad.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely has that. It's like a weird Exo Squad meets Centurions kind of crossover.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like which we've talked about both. Like cheap G.I. Joe.
Yes,
like,
definitely. Like, knock off G.I. Joe.
And so,
they took like a half a melted character that was a G.I. Joe, and he became a Zone Rider, and they took like a burned Cobra, and he became a Black Widow. And they're just like, that'll work.
This is what I imagine, Destro to look like Overlord if you were just to remove the silver mask. Or even Cobra Commander if you pulled the hood off.
Exactly.
Like, he'd just look like one of these fucking Zoners. Like, ugh.
Zoners is a derogatory term, listeners, so please don't use that willy-nilly.
Yeah.
They don't appreciate that. Zoners.
So I got into this cartoon because I think it has a fantastic theme song.
Yeah.
And I think the thing, in addition to kind of what I posited a while ago, you know, just talking about like, you know, the theme song really kind of like sets the tone, it sets the mood, it gives you a little bit of that exposition depending on like, you know, how they're going to drop you into the story. Right. Like if it's going to be something that's like an origin story, like Silverhawks, where they, you know, they go from pretty much the very beginning of it, you know, or it's going to be like Herculoids, where it just drops you like in media res, like, and you're just like, I have no idea what's going on.
Right.
This is like in a world that's existing and I'm just now privy to it.
Exactly.
So Spiral Zone, you know, just had a really like solid 80s. I kind of almost like it kind of was like a little bit hair metalish.
It had
a weird
kind of rock to it.
But as we've been watching, as Dave and I have been watching this week, we have been singing the theme song and can't get it out of our heads. And so it's very like I think that also, I mean, the theme song doesn't really tell you that much about the show.
No, not at all. Good versus evil, basically. Good guys, bad guys. That's it.
But I mean, when you think about the show, I mean, that's all. Yep. I mean, the theme song explains it perfectly. Good versus evil, no substance whatsoever.
Yeah, pretty much it. Now, Sean's going to do his rendition of this. At least I hope he will. I hope he will grace us with that fantastic.
Sure,
Thank you so much, buddy.
I would love to sing this theme song.
But we need to talk about the visual of how this thing opens up, because Sean and I talked about it before. It's one of the weirdest ways to start a show ever. It's a lot of these shows focus on the villains first, but usually like in the show, not just like with the theme song. So Overlord himself, I would go so far as to say, with a little bit of grooming, and once you get him out of the zone, he might actually be a fairly handsome fella. You know, he's built fairly well. Sure. He's got a bit of a unibrow thing going on.
Super unibrow.
Yeah, super. Like, not even a bit. This thing is solid.
I don't have a unibrow, but like looking at him, I was like, fuck, I want a unibrow.
You want one? Because it's intense.
That's a solid unibrow.
It's like a second forehead. It's amazing. That is stopping bullets, that thing.
It's like you are holding caterpillars, like woolly willy caterpillars just across your brow, buddy.
You're just breeding them on your face. Just they're there all the time.
Fantastic.
And then, so he's got these yellow kind of eyes, and then it's kind of like a ninja mask, like, you know, for like Scorpion or Sub-Zero, they wear that like kind of like ninja breather mask thing.
Yeah.
He's got kind of that, but like the top half of it is all red, but that's just his face. Like, that's not anything that he's wearing. That's just his face, as far as I can tell.
Right.
Yeah. So he's a weird looking dude. Now this theme song opens up with him just kind of like in repose, like he's on a chase lounger. Just kind of like with his arm thrown back over the back of his chopper motorcycle, and he's staring directly at the camera, directly at you, dear viewer.
Now, to Dave's point, or to his comment that he made off air, it looks like a fucking like creepy dating video.
Yes, exactly.
Like it looks like it's opening up on a creepy dating
video. It's like a sex chat commercial where he's just like, "Are you sitting home lonely and waiting to talk to someone like me? Oh boy, it's sexy."
It is really.
It's like eczema sexy, like sexema. That's not a thing. I don't think that's a thing. Yeah.
Like it.
It's like if you like pink eye, then definitely chat this guy.
I think we'll have to talk about like the because he says one sentence like kind of almost breaking the fourth wall, looking like directly at you.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like a menacing like. Like, oh, God, that might be sexy. Kind of, like, threatening way, you know. He just looks at you and he goes, surrender or pay the consequences. And, like,
welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Now, this sentence is important.
And why would that be? Yeah.
After watching because there are like there's no real consequences nor are there like really any demands his ultimate goal, Overlord's ultimate goal, has to be to just, you know, take over all of the world with these zone generators. But then what? That's it.
Yeah, like, it's basically like if you fight back, he's going to take over your area with his zone generators, and if you surrender, he's going to take over your area with the zone generators. So there's really no reason not to fight back against this guy.
Yeah.
But now I think is a grand time for Sean to give you the rest of this uplifting and heroic and powerful and energetic theme song that's been in our heads for a week solid.
All right. Yeah. All right. So just imagine me on a motorcycle that will never, ever be shown again in the series. And I'm just going to look directly at you and point. And I'm just going to go, surrender or pay the consequences. Earth's most powerful soldiers are Earth's last chance to fight the spiral zone. Darkness has fallen on the victims of the zone. Our world calls for courage, peace, and freedom we must own. We will fight on our honor what is right. We'll defend, fight the zone. Zone riders, Earth's most powerful soldiers.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Last chance against the spiral zone.
Spiral zone. Well done. Well done, sir. Now, if you can just imagine, like some rock guitars and a lot of dudes flying around shooting lasers while that was going on. It's basically like if they just had like an eagle carrying an American flag through like tank fire, it would just be perfectly epic. But yeah, that's been in our head for like a week now. And you can check it out on our website, too. We have that with the actual like animation that goes with the theme, too. So a lot of fun. Probably a lot. It made a lot more sense than the show itself. I will say that.
Yes.
How does this hold up for your theory, though? Like, what do you think about that? Those lyrics as pertains to, like, your introduction to the show? Like, does that tell you what to expect?
I mean, you know, I mean, with any kind of, like, so, I mean, I just want to be very specific. There are three types of, like, intros that they have for cartoons.
Yep.
There's, like, intros that are, like, specifically made to be an introductory song.
Right.
Like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comes to mind.
Right. Yeah, you learn the character names, you learn their story, you learn why they're doing what they're doing, and then you get right into it, yeah.
But it's, like, something where it's, like, it's, like, the yin to the yang for the second one, which is just, like, a clips show intro.
Right,
and which is what Spiral Zone is.
Yeah.
Like, it's just all clips from different episodes. Like, you didn't really watch the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song and think, like, oh, I'm going to see those clips, like, in other episodes.
Right.
I mean, I might be incorrect.
Well, they might have used them, but I mean, they use them in a way that it's just like, you know, Leonardo leads and they show Leonardo doing something cool.
Right.
And they're like, Donatello does machine. You know, they introduce the people. They don't just talk about what is generally happening. They use them as an audio and visual cue to be like, oh, that's Leonardo. Got it. Next. Yeah.
And so, I mean, and the third one is just like a hybrid, like, which is what actually Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song might be.
Oh, I got you.
So it was a bad example.
Okay.
So I think it's more of a TMNT is more of a hybrid. Spiral Zone is more just like a total clips one. And then there are other intros that are like meant specifically like to just simply segue you into this show. Like Captain N, you know, there was a lot of Captain N. Actually, that's probably more of a hybrid. I'm not going
to
debate this.
Look, like Dino Saucers comes to mind because I don't think they ever actually showed that meeting of the kids and the Dino Saucers in the show itself. I think they met in the intro. It was almost like a super, super short intro episode where they're just like, here's what happened a little while ago, and now we're in the story. So that one, I think, kind of goes with that. And also still one of the best fucking theme songs we've played so far.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So, you know, this one's like, I said it before, you know, it prepares you for the idea of like good versus evil, but there's very little substance in this, which in my mind is kind of how this show proceeded. So I think it kind of fulfills, you know, I'd say it's maybe a 50-50. I mean, you could definitely debate this one.
Because,
I mean, like, it's a fun theme song. It gets you pumped up for the idea.
Exactly.
It gives some basic themes, you know, that you're going to understand. And, you know, it doesn't introduce all the characters. But, I mean, then again, I mean,
whatever. Well, look, dude, I mean, like
I didn't even want to meet these five.
I didn't even care about them. I just wanted to know what the hell the Spiral Zone was because it sounded like a mistranslation of something, or like, I don't think that's what they want it to be. Like, that doesn't sound right.
I mean,
what is a spiral zone? How am I fighting this?
I mean, it's hard because like, you're not really fighting a spiral zone.
No, you're not.
You're fighting a zone generator that's controlled by Overlord. And so, I mean, like, it's a little, like, it took me a couple seconds. Like, there were a couple things. So, like, I have to admit, I had some confusion regarding the naming of this show.
Well, and we should talk about the episode order, too, because if you're listening to this but you haven't watched the show yet, I will say, look for episode 4. What is the name of it? I lost it. Do you remember the name of it by any chance? Mission Into Evil is the name of it. It was the original pilot, but it's actually episode 4, so it's 4th in the batting order. Definitely watch that first, and everything afterwards will make a lot more sense. If you struggled through the first three episodes without that, like Sean and I did, you'll obviously piece it together because you have a few functioning brain cells, but it takes a little bit to just be like, who are these people? What is going on? But yeah, so watch episode 4 first, and then it makes a lot more sense.
Agreed.
Yeah. What did you want to talk about the episode? Was that all?
I just had some confusion because like the Spiral Zone.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's called Spiral Zone.
Right.
And it's Spiral Zone. They're called Spiral Zones due to the shape. It says, but there are like the soldiers themselves are also called the Spiral Force.
Yeah, like, so there's like
those five soldiers are called the Spiral Force.
Well, and they're called Zone Riders too.
Yeah,
right?
But then they're almost exclusively only referred to as Zone Riders like throughout the entire series. And so I don't know. There were moments where I was just like, this show is almost suffering from like poor branding, like
internal
branding
I would agree.
Itself.
Yeah.
I was just like, it doesn't seem like they just seemed to like I feel like they got the word spiral and zone in the brain, and then they were just like, we're just never going to let these go. Like, we're going to choke hold the shit out of these.
I will say this, though. I do love, okay, I love Overlord. I love that he's just like, I'm Dr. James Benton. And then he's just like, I am now Overlord. So, done. Let's put that behind us and get to work on these zone generators. I love his Black Widows. And Sean mentioned this earlier, that they had a device that, like, allowed the people to, the Widows, to stay within these zones but not be as affected as everybody else, the zoners.
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of that device, what he called it? This is my, one of my favorites.
Oh my God!
If you don't remember it, it's not much of a stretch. It's called the Widowmaker.
The Widowmaker. That's right.
I love it. But that, again, that's just like the extent of like how far they go to like come up with names for this stuff. Because, oh my God! Speaking of names, I was going to start talking about the Black Widows, but maybe we should start with the Zone Riders because their names, their actual human, real people names, are so bad.
Yeah.
A couple of them are okay, so, but some of them are so bad.
And, you know, you have like the de facto like white blonde haired leader,
yes,
who is Commander Dirk Courage.
Oh, you can turn it off right now, folks.
pretty much.
Oh boy,
he is as vanilla as you can come.
He's Captain America without anyone to give a counterpoint to his stoic patriotism. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he is Boy Scout numero uno, but no one ever gives him reason to, like, be otherwise or to question him at all. So that's it. So there you go. Dirk Courage.
God, so Dirk Courage.
He's fine for what he does, though, I think. I mean, he's the leader of the team. He's fine. He's okay. He's acceptable.
You have a...
He's one of Earth's most powerful soldiers. I'm sorry. Oh, had to get that in
then
there.
We are fucked.
Yeah,
we're fucked.
Yeah, we are all fucked. Just go into a zone and just mellow out for the rest of your life.
Just going to suffer from ennui and then just pass away slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. All right. There's a Master Sergeant Tank Schmidt.
Oh, buddy.
He is from West Germany.
Oh, was he? I couldn't tell from his terrible German accent every few seconds.
No, I'm sorry. He has the worst fucking German accent.
It's really
all right?
bad.
It switches from German to Russian and French.
Thank you. I wrote that exact same thing down because I'm just like, why is he a man?
Garbage.
He's everywhere. He's all over the place. It's like he's not even like a bad Schwarzenegger impression or anything like that.
Yes,
he's just bad and inconsistent.
I also love the fact that it's West Germany.
Yes, thank you, 1987.
That is so fucking funny.
Because apparently in 1987 they were just like, oh well, it's always going to be East and West Germany for the next at least 20 years. I love the year 2007 that this shit was supposed to happen to. Where were you, internet? Why did no one tell us in 2007 that these fucking zone generators are about to drop? Sleep at the wheel.
Oh, boy.
It's just
it's Cold War humorous.
Oh, definitely.
But, like, this came out in, like, 87, and, like, I think it was another 3 years until the Berlin Wall fell. And they, like, just to have them be so specific
about this, incredibly specific. Like, but it is interesting because we have, and we'll talk about the other characters, too, but we do have kind of a worldly team. So we've got Dirk Courage, who's obviously American. I mean, what else is he going to be? And then Tank, who's clearly West German, not to be confused with East German.
Yeah.
And then speaking of Cold War, we've got a little...
Oh, Husky. Yeah. Hey, we've got a Lieutenant Hero Taka, who is from Japan.
If you couldn't guess, pretty much every time he bursts...
Hiro Taka.
Every time he bursts onto the scene, they play some sort of racist tone that you will recognize instantly.
It's uncomfortable.
Oh, it's super uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfortable.
It's really bad.
I'm crying. It's uncomfortable.
You can close your eyes and know exactly when Hiro comes onto the stage because they make this sound.
Or just like you know what? I get it. Like
yeah, we
you know,
get it. Yeah.
Martial arts came from Asia.
Yeah.
Like it came from like Western Asia. Not every person from Japan.
But the most powerful soldiers do. So keep that in mind. Yep.
Well, We had Second Lieutenant Max Jones.
Yeah, he's just kind of like a cool guy. He's probably American too.
Easily the best character on this show. Yeah, he's the only one out of these five like pieces of trash that actually does anything. It's amazing. And then you have Corporal Katerina Anastasia.
Yeah,
she is from the USSR. She's from USSR. Which is funny that it's still USSR.
Yeah.
At that time, so.
So if you want a lesson in like Cold War politics, just watch this show and you'll know everything you need to know. That everybody gets along and they always have.
Earth's most powerful soldiers.
Yeah.
Are fitting stereotypes.
Sure are.
Yeah. Oof. So the suits that the five of these wear, because like they're zone riders, so they're going into the zone.
Yeah, they're like the only ones that are allowed to by the military.
So they're continually going into these zones. And they're unaffected by everything that's there. And it's because of the special suits that they're wearing, which comes from a rare material called Neutron 90.
Correct.
And evidently there was such a small amount of it that was manufactured that we only had enough for five fucking suits.
For a little while, anyway.
That's earth-shattering that we were just like, oh, yeah, we can only make five, like... Maybe pump up production on that.
Well, hey, dude, they tried to. Do you remember what they said? The Black Widows actually took out.
Right. Well, what happened? Yeah. It was being manufactured in a site in Great Britain, correct. And when Great Britain was in the process of falling under a zone, the fucking British government destroyed it. But here's
makes zero sense to me. But okay.
Yeah, it makes zero sense to me because I don't buy it for a fucking second because these zones these devices hit, and they automatically create a zone, and then everybody, like, is under this, like, kind of, like, you know, hazy fog of war. Right. It's like they have, like, NyQuil head.
Right.
You know, like, when they wake stuffy up in the morning, and they fever. Just kind of, like, just fucking zonked out and don't do shit. Yep. It's like me on a Saturday is basically, like, the zone. It's so, like, just unproductive and just crappy. Like, you know, you just don't want to get up or, like, change clothing or anything like that. And so, I mean, you know, they only had enough for these five suits, and so that's where we find our...
Well, I'll tell you what, as the show marched on to its 65 episodes, apparently they found enough that was left over from putting these five suits together to just be like, oh, let's bring two more in. They got an Australian. He's a demolition specialist. His name is Lieutenant Ned Tucker. And then they got a field scientist, whatever the fuck that is, I'm not even kidding on this one, Lieutenant Benjamin Davis Franklin. Benjamin Franklin.
Yep.
Now, we're talking about names and how terrible they are. We've definitely got to talk about the Black Widows again, because this team of misfits, I don't even know. I mean, we were talking about stereotypes with our heroes. The villains are just as bad.
They are, if not worse.
Maybe worse. I don't know. I feel like we are more stereotypical of the heroes. You know, the heroes are almost worse. The worst one is obviously Bandit. Yeah. Let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry?
Bandit?
Oh, Bandit. Yeah. So he's the only one here that's like of, I guess, like notable, I want to say like a notable like background, and he is Middle Eastern.
Yes, very Middle Eastern.
Very Middle Eastern.
You can picture him in your head without ever having seen him. You can picture him right now. Basically, picture any like Aladdin villain, and you've got him.
What you're thinking right now is exactly
you
correct.
Got it.
It's super correct. you have Duchess Dyer.
Oh,
she's the only female because you know every team needs to have five characters, and out of those five, one needs to be female.
Yeah, that's how it's done.
We're doing a real good job. That's how
it's done. Do you know why it's done that way though? It's so they can sell the toys. So they keep the molds the same, and they just switch the colors and the weapons and all that stuff out.
Yeah.
It's smart. That's smart toy making.
Yeah, I mean, it's good work. Yeah, I mean, it's genius, but I mean, it's just, I don't know, disappointing.
This entire show is disappointing. So let's not, you know.
Let's take it ahead of ourselves, because there's a lot more disappointing.
Oh, just wait.
We have Razorback, you have Reaper. And then at some point further down, and this is Dave's
who
thought about this, so you have there's two additional villains. Because, I mean, you know, if you're going to have two additional good
you
guys,
balance
you're
going to
have Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
You know, hey, look, you got those classic villains. So let's,
what is an antithesis of Ben Franklin, Sean?
Hold on, I'm sorry, of Ben Franklin and Ned Tucker. The counter would be Crook.
Okay.
Because, they're
villains. Yeah, sure.
And raw meat.
I couldn't watch an episode with raw meat, but I so wanted to. I just want to see what this thing looks like. Why they call him raw meat. The first guy, Crook, is like a French scientist, okay? And the other guy is just a truck driver. So I don't know why he's called raw meat, but I just love that.
This is
what we're dealing with here, kids.
I think my biggest problem with the Black Widows, my biggest problem with this show in general is their blatant disregard for proper vehicle design.
It's kind of post-apocalyptic, so everybody only has enough for one
wheel. Yeah, 2007 was a real rough year.
For one wheel. Everybody gets one wheel unless you're in the zone where everybody has seven wheels or tank treads or, yes, the very symmetrical seven-wheeled vehicles that are out there.
Yeah.
I mean.
There were a lot of, you have Overlord and Courage both have their, we're a leader, and so they get, a very distinct vehicle. Right. And so then the rest of the Black Widows kind of have these, I don't know, it looked like a Barca Lounger.
Yeah.
With, whirling maces on either side.
Yeah, I mean, it's the oddest looking...
Like a shitty Adirondacks chair.
It looked like an IKEA design from hell that... like a team of like ex-cons or something like put together as like a work release project to try to break out of prison. It's the weirdest looking thing. They had these like tank treads on it. It kind of looks like one of the exo suits from Exo Squad, but like really, really shitty.
But the main difference being between the exo suits is that the exo suits always had like a piece of glass or like something that would actually protect the person exactly. that was inside. These
from
were
debris.
Just wide open.
Yeah.
These were just wide open vehicles, and these were there are multiple times where they go through the wall of a
building. Oh, and shit gets blown up left and right, and people fly out of these things. It's like Mad Max. It's like Mad Max.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. And so these things are going on, and these people are blowing up, or they're blowing up shit all around them, and they are just completely exposed. Now, when I say it looks like a Lazy Boy or a Barca Lounger, they're just comfortably sitting in these things.
Yeah, it's exactly the safety level of a Barca Lounger.
The thing that killed me are the camel, the straw that broke the camel's back on this for me was these dumb fucking whirling mace arms that were on the side because they didn't extend.
No.
They didn't shoot anything. They didn't shoot anything. They didn't extend beyond the front of the vehicle.
They must have made that ride wobbly as hell, too.
Holy
crap.
Could
you imagine your alignment bill after that? That's just crazy.
It's nuts. They're on these tank treads.
Right.
So, if you're thinking to yourself, the whirling mace arm was to, break up all the rubble and debris that's on the ground.
Nope.
They're riding on tank treads, you dummy. do you not understand how tank treads work? It was so frustrating. Every time they got in these stupid things, I lost my mind. I was I hope one of them blows up. And then one of them would blow up.
Yeah,
but
multiple times.
They'd blow up and it would send the person who was inside of it. There was never an eject button.
No.
But the explosion would happen and it would shoot the person, 10, 15, 20 feet out of the dumb
lace-armed
Barca Lounger chair. And they'd be like, oh, I'm fine.
Oh, or they would just smash. One of my favorite sequences, this was a rescue sequence between Tank, the West German, and this little girl, which, oh my God, I cannot wait to get to this girl. I don't want to ruin her.
That sounded creepy taking that.
I want to get to this girl. Well, guess what? I can get to her because she's disabled, and she rides around in a hover wheelchair.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear. I can't wait to get to her. Neither could Tank. There's a rescue scene between the two of them, and there's this sequence where Tank, he's basically just, surrounded by these Black Widows. He's trying to get up and get back on his unicycle motorcycle thing. he gets it upright, and then he just kind of pushes it over again and turns around. So it's well, what the fuck? Okay, and then he turns around and slowly walks back towards the Black Widows, who have him surrounded with these tank things. Pulls out his laser pistol, fires one shot, and then just gets immediately blasted into a wall by all the other lasers from the Black Widows. It's just that kind of poor editing and just weird continuity stuff was throughout this entire series. And it's hilarious to watch. It just makes zero sense. And they've got unlimited resources, apparently, because these vehicles blow up left and right. And they just pick up a new one and just ride it into the zone. It's just to sell toys. Just to remind you, it is just to sell toys. I particularly liked Commander Dirk Courage. I particularly liked his vehicle because it's just a it's like a big wheel. It's just a big wheel with a fucking cannon mounted
on
top of
it. You know what it looked like? It looked like like on South Park, that mono wheel.
Yeah.
That they have, like the Mr. Garrison, like, dildo chair.
Yes.
Like, mono wheel thing. Like, it looks almost exactly like that, and you just put a giant gun on
it. If you put a giant cannon on top of it. Now, I bring this cannon up for a variety of reasons. One, Sean, there was a recurring theme or recurring instance in the episodes that we watched, which involved the Zone Riders having to rescue someone, whether it was one of their own team members or whether it was somebody else that they... You know, every episode there's somebody that's brought in.
Some type of a POW.
There's always
something that brought them into the zone.
Now, the way that they rescue these people is suspect because they don't have, like, you know, a cargo van or a medical, like an ambulance or anything that you would be like, oh, let's fucking make some room for these extra people we're picking up. Every time they pick someone up, they put them in a different place. If it's like Katarina who gets shot. We should mention there's kind of a love thing between Katarina and Courage, obviously.
Yeah,
which is real sexy.
It's like one of the first. There are very few moments where you actually see, like, I want to say
people talking to each other.
Because
that's one of them.
Conversation.
Yeah, conversation.
What?
Yeah.
There are very few moments in the show, in the episodes that I watched, where you see people express any type of empathy towards one another.
Right.
And that's fascinating because, like, you are five soldiers. You are the only five soldiers that can do a certain job.
Yeah.
All right. And we should mention, of the four episodes, I want to say at least half of them showed, like, very flagrant disregard to direct orders from commanding officers that would put their lives and the lives of others at risk.
And the mission, like, too. This is the mission to protect the rest of the fucking world. Like, you're the only people that can get this shit straight, and you are fucking up.
And they are just like, you know what? I don't care what they said. I got to follow my heart on this one.
It's very Top
Gun. You understand why they're doing it. Yeah. Like, you know, when you're watching it, you're just like, oh, they got to wrap this up real quick.
Each character has their own kind of, like, reasons for doing so, which we'll kind of talk about in a second. But not good.
This is in the first episode. They have this briefing, and the rest of the Zone Riders clear out, and it's just like Dirk and Katarina for like 2 seconds, and they have like this like really intense exchange. And this was like the first episode. To that point, I was just like, oh, okay, like, this, there's, like, some interesting things that are going on.
Exactly.
Like, there's a lot of stuff here. And then from that point forward in the first episode, that's maybe, like, the five-minute mark, it's just trash.
It starts off, there's moments where you're like, somebody in that room had real designs to, like, make something of this, and they just got run out, and it was just like, nope, toys, blow everything up. Yeah. But yeah, there was a nice moment between them, which makes sense a little later on. I don't think in that episode, but in a later episode, she actually gets blasted by Duchess.
Yes.
And another recurring theme we'll talk about is hospitals, because every single episode ends in the fucking hospital with a different person. But I digress. So Katarina gets blasted. They take her back to the hospital. But in order to get her there, one of the other riders basically just, like, puts her across his lap and just drives her back, which sounds normal, right? I mean, that's fine. Yeah. They don't have a space for her, so they put her across her lap.
You know, they're traveling into a war zone where everybody that's in there is under the influence of the zone.
Right. And Overlord.
Which we should mention is like a giant fucking mood ring. Like, you know, and so
that you can walk into and out of. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, they're stuck in this weird, ominous, like, ennui. And you would think that you would kind of, like, pull up into this joint, I don't know, in like a paddy wagon or like a semi truck.
Something.
And, like, and get people into this thing and get them the fuck out. Yeah. But like they don't.
They scoop up one person at a time.
Yeah, they scoop up one person at a time on their monocycles, and then they, you know, GTFO, and that's it.
So let's talk about that. So they put Katarina across one of the guy's laps. Fine. Another guy, Max Jones, he scoops up a little kid with just like one arm, and he hauls him out. Yeah. That's fine. They go in. They get basically a fallen pilot. They strap him to the back of one of their unicycles or something, or like one of the tank tread thingies, and they haul him out. That's fine. Now, this has all happened. In the first episode, however, they need to...
They're rescuing somebody from the zone, and instead of, like, putting them over the lap or
anywhere else that we just mentioned, like, carrying them, anything else.
It's Hero. They're rescuing Hero.
Yeah.
And instead of putting Hero like in any way that would be like, I don't know,
safe.
recommended to ensure the safety of somebody that is on your team that you are trying to recover.
Right.
They put him in the barrel of the gun that's on Dirk's.
Yeah, his big wheel.
His big wheel. Yeah. Like they put him inside of the barrel. It's like an open barrel.
Yeah, it's like a half barrel. Like the bottom of it, it's just kind of a chute. It's basically a chute. A gun that shoots from a chute. Yeah.
And so they put him in this half barrel, and then it looks like they tie him down with like a belt.
Yeah, they just a couple belts that they got laying around and strap him down in this fucking gun barrel of a laser cannon. You guys are shitty teammates.
The vehicle that Courage, that Commander Dirk Courage rides, is called the Rimfire.
Oh boy!
So
I did not know that. I love it. That's something you got to get checked at the doctor's when you got that Rimfire.
Rimfire.
Ooh, got a cream and an ointment for that.
So
strap Hero down in the Rimfire. I love that. Like, I might not have noticed it if the villain hadn't specifically called it out, because he goes after Courage and he's like, "Oh, you strapped your dude into your weapon, so you can't fire that gun anymore. I'm gonna beat the shit out of you." It's the weirdest thing, man. That's one of the things. We've got carrying people and rescuing people. We've got everybody ends up in the hospital, but it's totally fine, and everybody just laughs at the end.
Well, I mean, I think you did a really good job of kind of, and help me out with this, Dave.
Yeah.
You boiled this show down.
Oh, here we go.
Almost like an if then else an if then statement.
Yeah.
Which is super funny. Because it made perfect sense. I mean, for the four episodes that we watched, like, it was spot on. Perfect.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that walk me through it.
Okay.
Walk me through it.
Basically,
I want you to do it justice.
Okay, I appreciate that. I basically laid it out this way. I laid it out as a problem and a resolution. Problem: the Black Widows are planning to blow something up. Resolution: the Zone Riders blow it up instead. That is the solution to every conflict in these episodes. They like do these recons at like, man, they're at like the Marin generator, like near, I think, San Francisco, and they go to the Hoover Dam, and they're in Montreal, and they're all over the place at these different, you know, these different sites. And they always drop a little bit of like pseudo history on the viewers as well. They're always like, oh, back in this day, this thing happened. Oh, my God. We need to talk about the conversation between the soldiers, too, before I forget about that.
They are Earth's most informative soldiers.
They are super powerful and informative. But so they're always moving around. And everything, it's always the overlord that wants to blow something up, whether it's the Hoover Dam, whether it's a generator, whether it's just, you know, a building or something. They always want to blow something up. So you would think, send the team in and stop them. No. The team goes in, they wire their own timed detonators in literally three of the four episodes at least, and they plan to blow it up instead. It makes zero sense. It makes absolutely no sense. It's fun because it's big explosions.
I think my favorite thing is that they I forget if it was in the Wikipedia or if it was in this Spiral Zone wiki that I found. They said that the zone generators are impossible to zone generators are impossible to capture because of booby traps.
I love that Wikipedia entry. Because of Data from the Goonies just like rolling around setting booty traps,
I'm sorry, these things are impossible to capture because of booby traps. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, it's just
look in.
I can suspend disbelief
right.
to enjoy a
show. And we do every week, yes.
Yes.
But man,
it's just too fucking crazy. Like,
well, okay, here's a great example of that. There's one episode, it's called King of the Skies, and it involves like a former like ace pilot that they kind of, the Zone Riders find, and Courage knows him from like his past in the military and whatever. Basically, it turns out in this episode that
it was Donovan.
King of the Skies Donovan. Yeah, I love that guy though. He was awesome. He was actually a cool character.
Yeah. He was like a mentor to Dirk Kirk.
And he showed that, you know, old people shouldn't be counted out because they can still save the day over you young bucks.
That was, oh my god. I have a quote from this. Shoot. That was my favorite.
Okay.
I forget which one of the Zone Riders said
this. It doesn't matter.
Probably Tank.
Probably.
Probably Tank, because I hate him. Yeah. He just goes, thanks, old timer. And Donovan replies, and he goes, old timer, I was fighting wars when you were in diapers. And then he walks away like, bro, kind of pissed off.
Yeah.
And then Tank just goes, what did I say? Old timer. You said old timer. You called him old timer.
You called him an old, you know, decrepit what
you
man. Said,
you just insulted him. You ageist fuck. Like, you know, god damn it. Like, it's like one of those things where you're like, hey, Dave, you motherfucker. And you're like, whoa,
dude, what
really?
The? You're, I mean, come on. I'm like, walking, oh, we're live on this show right now. Like,
called you a motherfucker. Like, that's
not really the, professional.
The thing that you just said is the exact thing that came into question.
Yeah, the said, only right? thing you said. You said the two words. Said. One of them was offensive.
Oh, god.
But he, in this episode, okay, so the premise of this one is they rescue this old guy lost outside the zone. They bring him back. He gives them some intel. That turns out to lead into a trap. Fine. Great. Whatever.
Got it.
Here's where I had a problem. So Overlord, he has, like, both of these guys, Courage and Overlord, each have their own kind of, like, scientist. One's bad, one's good. They do kind of the same stuff, though. So the bad guy's scientist gives Donovan a memory implant that gives him a false memory of this supposed, like, access road to get into Overlord's lair at the time at Hoover Dam. So, of course, Donovan tells them about this, not knowing that he's leading them into a trap. The best part of this, however, was when they replayed this memory implant video. Did you watch this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So they're playing, they're doing the playback, and they're letting the viewers know exactly what Donovan saw. For the first part, Overlord is talking directly to Donovan and saying, here's what you're going to tell him. Okay? Yeah. And that is fine. I'm still okay with that. He's like, there's an access road. You're going to tell him where it is, and you're gonna lead them right to us. And then it's almost like Donovan is watching, like, through a camera, because you just see Overlord just kind of, like, look off to the side and talk to somebody off camera, like, oh, hey, what's going on over there? Oh, yeah, I just tricked this stupid fuck into leading the Zone Riders into an ambush that we're going to have. And it's like, if he could remember to tell him about the path, why couldn't he remember to tell him not to go on the path because they were going to get ambushed?
Yeah, I mean, like, you had a whole fucking outtakes reel in your brain. Like, you couldn't.
Yeah, he's like, should I do it again? He's like, should I, you know, is the lighting okay? Should I just.
Should I do it again?
Should I, one more time.
Ugh. What about the consequences of this memory implant? Shut up.
I just love that, though. I love the logic where it's like he told him the secret memory. He also told them the plan. Donovan only remembered half of it.
And then shits on him about it.
Yeah, he sure did, old timer. Maybe it was maybe he had Alzheimer's.
What did I say?
Maybe he was demented. He had dementia.
This was also the episode where Kat gets shot.
And oh, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote down in my notes, they rescue Kat. By putting her on a bike. Whose bike was it? Was it Tank's?
I want to say Matt. It might have been Tank's. It was either Tank or Max.
It doesn't matter who it was, because whoever it was, it looks like they were totally taking her. Like, the way that they drew it, it looks like one of the Zone Riders was getting in Kat's zone.
Yeah. See, like, now you can do that if it's a lady Zone Rider and a male Zone Rider. Apparently you cannot do that if it is your fallen brother Hero. You just strap that fucker into a laser cannon barrel.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because no homo on this show. Jesus. Oh, my goodness. But, like, go ahead.
Did you? I had a couple fun. There were two additional moments that I wrote down.
Oh my God, I've got so many. Just so many tank quotes.
They were losing my mind in this episode was one where they say they're just like, there have been many improvements in the field of high-tech mind control. And I was just like, oh, this is going to be my new major.
Yeah,
like,
you can minor in that. It's cool. Yeah,
I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to get a fucking degree. I'm going to get my Bachelor of Science in high-tech mind control. Yeah. Like,
sign me up.
At the very end, when Donovan is like kind of talking and, you know, kind of like settling on everything that's happened and being very apologetic, there's like an odd, like sexy saxophone
solo. Yes, thank you. I put that down too. Donovan gets his own sexy saxophone solo while he's like planning to like show those young kids what an old timer can do. And it is, like, he's just in a room by himself with a sexy saxophone playing and he's like swooning over his like his helmet and his jumpsuit. It's so bizarre.
It's like I always wanted like the bikini clad woman on like the Rex and Effect Rump Shaker music video
to just walk in.
Be like I was dying. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Oh my God. Look, I'll tell you another moment that I had that was similar to that. Okay. Do you remember the conversation between the two random like guards, the two random soldiers? Do you remember bits
and
pieces? So I have this. So let me set this up for you. I think this is the first episode. Zone Riders know that Overlord is planning to like take over a generator and basically cut the Pacific Coast off from the entire fleet and shut down their transport. So big fucking deal, maybe, right? They cut from that to these two gomers, these two random guards, just like on the, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge. And here is the following conversation between these two random soldiers. Ready? Got a letter from my cousin in Chicago. Saw Rambo 12 last week. Saw Rambo 12 last week. The ticket cost him $30. The other soldier comes in. Well, he shouldn't complain. At least they got movies. Hey, what else did your cousin have to say? The first soldier. He said they're thinking about getting Major League Baseball back together again.
Yes, all 16.
all six teams. Should be able to field at least six teams. And then the other guy, they're just having this casual conversation in the middle of a fucking apocalypse. The other guy goes, yep, should be good for morale. Hey, hear that? At this point, like, Hero just blasts through them and just goes right into the zone. These two guys should just be fed into the zone and left for dead. But it's
this was episode one.
I think it's
this
one. Yeah. One. It's this kind of dialogue, though, that they're like, oh, my God.
I wrote the same thing. Oh, hey, they're getting the MLB back together.
Yeah. Oh, hey, did you hear? What else did your cousin have to say? Like, this is the most interesting thing I've heard in weeks.
Gives a shit.
At least they got movies.
Oh, God.
And then I wrote in my own quote that it's, in case you didn't know, it's the future in America and it's terrible. Because that's kind of like what they're letting you know. Jesus. There are so many just like throwaway like one-liners. Like it sounds like they're setting up something profound and then it just falls completely flat and it's hysterical. Yeah. Like at one point when Hero gets... did this make any sense to you, the holographic zone battle? Did that make any sense to you, that game thing?
Other than to just, like, you know, show something that, like, sort of looked...
Yeah, like a virtual reality. Tron-ish? Yes.
Or almost kind of, like, laser tag-ish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of, like, I don't know.
Well, so without getting too much into the plots of this. Yeah.
I have no time for games.
Oh, that was Russian. I'm sorry. That should have been like West German. I have no time for games.
Oh, God.
Oh, and I have so many tank quotes because he's the best. But okay, so at one point there's a guy and it doesn't matter who he is, but they give Hero this like this GameCube looking thing, right?
It was a zone generator.
Kind of.
No. It was Bandit. It was Bandit in disguise.
Which that actually to introduce Bandit, that was pretty cool. He had a very cool way of taking those guards out. Yeah.
I mean, I really, if you end up watching the first episode, like if you end up watching like the first episode that actually, like, I guess that they're trying to say like holographic zone battle.
Yep.
Episode one. But episode four, Mission into Evil, is really the true pilot. Right. So you should watch Mission into Evil first. But Holographic Zone Battle, like, for watching it for the first couple times, like, for the first couple minutes, I was like, oh, Bandit's, like, you know, he's infiltrating this base. He's putting in these crazy contacts.
Yeah, it was like Mission Impossible style. Oh, yeah, it was really cool.
Like, I was like, holy shit, like, this is pretty rad. Yeah. And then, like, you know, they have, like, some weird exchange, yeah, like, between Hero and Tank. And I was like, kind of waiting, yeah, on this. And then there's the brief, and then Kat and Courage have this exchange. And I'm just kind of like, all right, this might be like an Exo Squad, like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, but no, it was not.
Maybe it's not spanning over three planets. Maybe it's just simply focusing on. And then from that point forward, I was just like, oh no, this is like, those moments were wonderful.
Yeah.
Everything else after this is just,
look,
trash.
I'll tell you exactly where I was just like, nope, this is gonna be terrible. When, okay, so Bandit, who he took out these guards and he hopped on this transport and he infiltrated this base. All for what purpose? To disguise himself as a shop owner.
Yep.
To disguise himself as a shop owner. Why? So he could give Hero, who just happened to walk in that day, this, like, grenade-shaped battle game generator. It was called a holographic zone battle. Now, here's the quote that I wrote down. He says, I have a holographic zone battle game for you. You can be defender or zoner, and it, quote, surrounds the planet with holographic battle. I still don't know what the fuck that means. I wrote it down like, what the fuck does that mean? He's like, it really puts you in the action. I don't know. It was just
amazing thing is that for, like, you know, this is a new game.
Right.
All right. Presumably this has, like, something that Hero has never played before.
Right.
You know? And is very unique to this situation.
And remember, if you're watching this show in order, this is your introduction to the show, too. Yeah, so yeah. What is happening? Yeah.
And so you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, like, you know, maybe do the game tutorial, you know, figure out how to do this. Like, oh, no, he immediately knows how to play this game. Like,
oh, yeah, instantly. And he beats the shit out of it within 20 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I mentioned earlier about some of the quotes that, like, at one point, Tank is like, maybe I should talk to the commander about this game stuff. Just such just weird generic comments. Like, again, Courage, he says at some point, where do I have it here? He's like, because they're using this game to try to trick Hero and to kind of get him on their side. And Courage says, Overlord set out to get Hero. So he builds it up as, like, this big thing. And he just goes, and he succeeded. It's like, well, fucking, like, we'll do something about it. Like, what are you doing? Like, go get him. And do you remember the part where they actually go get him? Because I had to pause it. I was laughing so hard.
No.
Okay.
I remember the battle sequence and, like, them rescuing him, right, and, like, fighting him, yeah, and stuff. But, like, what?
Yeah. So to set this up, Hero kind of goes rogue because he's been tricked by Overlord. So the rest of the Zone Riders have to defeat him without hurting him and then get him out. And the way they get him out is strapping him to a laser cannon, which we talked about. But first they have to defeat him. So Courage, like, okay, so Hero busts into this hall, and he has his shirt off, and he looks very much like Bruce Lee, and he makes the Bruce Lee noises, and it's like, okay, yep, here we go.
I get it.
Yeah, so Courage says to his team, he's like, we have to take him without weapons. And then he just yells, hit it! And all of the guys attack Hero, and it's literally, I went back and I count, it's literally 3 seconds, and Courage goes, time's running out, we'll have to leave him, and he fucking abandons him. It's only Tank that basically just goes up to him, slugs him, and then just carries him out. And it was like, your team leader gave you 3 seconds, and then was just going to leave you behind. Like,
wrote about that was just, there are 5 of you.
Yes.
And you abandoned 20% of your
that your other 80% of the team could not defeat.
I mean, here's the thing: he wasn't wearing his zone suit at that. Like, he wasn't wearing his suit at that time.
Little cuckoo.
So could have just put somebody else in that suit.
Oh, like,
could have just replaced Hero with some other.
You got the suit, dude. There's only 5
martial arts fighting. Monocycle riding Japanese man.
Oh.
You know, it's just.
I'm gonna end up just my section of thing with some more quotes from Tank because Sean hates him and I love him so much.
All right, please.
Tank
was my least favorite character.
Sean hated Tank. He loved Max. Max didn't really have any quotes other than going to get food from
the
cafeteria.
Yeah, he was getting shit done.
Yeah, he got food from, like, the cafeteria. Like, that's all he did.
No, he was actually, like, doing things.
I
like
know.
He had responsibilities.
Yeah.
Tank just bitched the whole time.
Tank.
I'm gonna say this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say
He's
this.
He's rogue.
I do have one Tank quote, but I won't. I won't read it unless you get to it first. Okay. But there was one moment where you find out that Tank's son.
Yes, that was one of my favorites.
Is actually trapped in a zone, and they haven't rescued him yet. You know, because in all the snatch and grabs that they've done on their monocycles, they haven't fucking rescued Tank's son.
Right.
You know,
hey, anybody else?
Everybody else. You know, no problem. But you know, the Tank's son, they have not rescued him yet. But I wrote down, like, I watched the episode and I said this out loud. They just go, "Don't you know, Tank's son is trapped in the zone?" And out loud, like while watching this today, I just yelled at the computer and just went, "Good,
leave him."
What a terrible human.
Here's the thing, though. The best part of this, okay, so unless you watch it out of order, so they actually mentioned this in the pilot, but you'll remember that we watched that fourth because it was the fourth episode. So right. The first time you're watching this, it's so weird because, okay, there's a girl, she's disabled, she can't walk, so she has a hover wheelchair that becomes a running, I can't believe I just said that, running gag throughout this episode. That's terrible.
Hey, you fuck.
But anyway, so Tank goes after, and it's her and her sister. Her sister's worthless. So Tank, she doesn't do shit. She doesn't do anything. She just lays there. Tank runs into the zone against orders, and he goes to pick up the older girl, and the girl, he's got her in, like, under one arm, and he goes. Now, remember, you don't know anything about Tank's background at this point. This is, like, the first time you're learning anything about him. He picks up the one girl. She goes, "Don't worry about me. Get my sister." And he goes, he picks up the other girl. He's like, "I have both of you. Tank doesn't leave children behind ever again." And just runs the fuck off. And I lost it. Because it was just like such a weird thing for him to say. And then later, yes, whatever. They tell you that Tank's son is still in the zone because his team is fucking awful. Mm. Two more Tank quotes. Can I give you two more? Because I love him so much.
Sure.
Okay. And then we'll get wrapped up here.
I have two potential quotes if you miss them.
Okay. One is basically the Zone Riders show up and they see the Black Widows messing with somebody else. So Tank just like busts in. He's like, "Time to play Vizaz Doom Coughs." And it's just so stereotypical and just so bad that I cracked up. Another one was after Tank got the girls back to, you guessed it, the hospital. And he stops. Yes. He's like, "I have to stop at the gift shop." Which is great. And he returns to the room and he just busts in. He's like, "I brought you flowers and a pound puppy." Oh my God. I'm like crying right now.
Did you get the one at the end of the episode? This is episode 3. Did you get the one at the end of episode 3? He goes, "All should be free, especially children."
Especially children. He is really hung up on these kids, man. There was a moment, too, where it's like, it's not enough that he said pound puppy. Like, the camera, the animated fucking camera, zooms in on the face of this detailed, carefully drawn pound puppy just laying on the side of the bed.
Yeah, I mean, Tonka was responsible for pound puppy.
Exactly.
So it was a tie.
Early product placement in an animated series. Holy shit, dude.
Are there any more priceless Tank quotes? I have one quote from the general.
You do? I think I know which one it is, but please.
It's the beginning of episode 4.
Okay.
Where he just got, where the general is talking to the pilot who is delivering the, whatever the,
Neutron 90?
The Neutron right. 90. And he just goes, "We're looking forward to getting your little package." And like, it was in the same inflection and I was like, oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, what is he about to get?
Sweet Jesus, ooh, he's buddy. Getting that package.
But that like same colonel or general or whatever it was, he has some of the greatest like deliveries. I basically wrote down that he was George Bush, just like in charge of this team. Because every once in a while he's kind of a Texan, he's kind of a woo gunslinger, you know, woo.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Every once in a while. And then he says he's another one that has a dialogue that it sounds like he's going to say something profound, and then it just is just like a wet fart that just like finishes out. Because at one point when they're talking to Donovan and he gives them the intel, he goes, "Well, I hope you're right, Colonel, because," and he kind of pauses, and he goes, "We're going to bet that you are." And it's like, well, wait a minute, what the fuck does that mean?
Like, I mean,
you had nothing else. You got nothing else there. Oh boy, this. See, now this is why I enjoyed this show, because it is just, it's bad. It's fucking hilarious. There's a lot of really, really bad one-liners and quotes. And it's not terrible to watch. Like, it's not super grating to just sit there and watch it. I enjoyed watching it.
Okay.
I don't think I'd pay for it, but I enjoyed watching it. So thankfully you can find these.
You can find all 65 episodes for free on YouTube.
Hey, you know what you can't find, really? What? Any Rule 34 stuff. I really didn't see anything out there, surprisingly. Yeah. Kind of weird.
Well, make it happen.
Make it happen there, DeviantArt, with Tank. Yeah, buddy.
Get there. Oh, man. So Dave, are you saying that you recommend?
I'm going to recommend checking this out only because it's, like, it's pretty obscure, which is what we aim for here. And if you haven't seen it before, watch at least episode 4 and then episode 1, I'd say.
Yeah. I would agree. I would agree. I this show, there were moments of this where the character, and you know, I don't know if it was in part just maybe like the, you know, the dubbing or just, you know, the quality of uploading the video.
Oh, it was bad, the one that I watched free. Anyway. Yeah.
A couple of them were really bad. They were really hard to watch.
It's basically a dude with a camcorder on his, like, computer screen, and he keeps moving it around, and it keeps, like...
Oh, no, I wasn't even watching that.
Oh, I watched that. Like, that was really bad.
I was watching a bunch that were, like, actually, like, well done, but the problem was like, the voices, like, whenever they put on their helmets,
yeah.
Like, it almost became, like, impossible to hear some of the things that they were saying.
Oh, okay.
Like, under the helmets, and, like, I don't know, sometimes, like, Tank got, like, really weird Bane voice.
Yeah.
And so, like, I got frustrated with some of that. I mean, I would watch episode 4, like Dave mentioned, just to kind of get, like, a flavor of what this show has to offer and sort of the insanity that occurs. I would definitely watch the – I would definitely listen to the theme song. I don't know what it is about this theme song. Just really –
it's real good.
Like, I liked it. I liked it a
There's
lot.
There's something – I feel like they ripped off something else that was super similar and was, like, really popular. Like, some sort of, like, A-team type – action show on TV or MacGyver or something that was similar enough that we're just like, oh yeah, I totally know this, but I don't know. It's good. I enjoy it.
But I mean, I have a really hard time, you know, just kind of like understanding that, like, this guy who's trying to enslave mankind, like, that, like, he doesn't kill any of the people who are in the zones.
No.
Because, like, that's the people he recruits for his, like, his slave army. But, I mean, everybody who's in that slave army is sort of suffering from the same, like, lackadaisical, like,
AIDS.
Yeah, AIDS, like, ennui that, like, everybody
Sean
else
thinks
is
it's
suffering.
Ennui. I think it was a metaphor for AIDS. He disagrees, but I'm going to go with AIDS.
So, like, you know, they suffer from this, you know...
malaise, depression, skin condition.
And so, like, I mean, this... I feel like this whole fucking show could be solved with, like, Zoloft. And, like, I don't feel like... When I think about that, I'm just kind of like, I call bullshit on the whole thing.
Or just, like, fluoride in the water system, or just something simple like that. You know, like a simple antibiotic or something, probably take
care of it. Like, if the solution to your problem is to not be in the area of the fucking problem, like, that's not a show.
No.
There's no stakes there. Like, you know, they have, like, this, they have this kid that, like, walks into it, like, in
episode 4, is the pilot, yeah.
Yeah, in episode 4, and then he's just not able to, like, get back out. Like, it's just, like, just turn around.
Oh, my God, we didn't tell them this. We didn't tell them, should we save it? Should we just tease him and tell him to watch that, or should we tell him what it is?
Yeah, yeah, just watch episode 4, because there's this weird, creepy pipe organ music.
Yeah, and you're like, well, where is that coming
boy
from?
Walks into the zone, and you're just like, I don't understand what's going on here.
And that is an amazing reveal.
I laughed so hard because it was really a what the fuck moment because I was like, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me.
But it was so fun. So fun. Definitely check that out.
So check out Earth's whatever soldiers.
Yeah, whatever soldiers. Earth's only soldiers left because everyone else is dead.
Everybody else is watching Rocky 12 or
Rambo
12. 12.
Probably Rocky 12 too at that point. $30 though. It's an expensive movie. We're getting there.
Hey, Dave.
What's up, buddy?
If I wanted to find you on the internet, what are you up to? What are you doing?
Oh, well, now that we're in the holidays here, pretty much all the shows that I review over at Collider.com are in their mid-season finales. I'll tell you what, The Flash and Arrow this week were top-notch. Excellent, excellent shows.
I am excited to watch them on Hulu.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything for you because there's lots to be spoiled. But really cool. Really well done. The CW, I don't know how you did it, but you did it. So keep it up.
Well done.
Yeah. So pretty much the only show still running that I review, I do Gotham, The Flash, Arrow, The Walking Dead, and Constantine. That last one on NBC is the only one that's still kind of just pushing through the holidays here. So I'll keep reviewing that over at Collider.com. But, you know, feel free to come on by and check out my previous recaps and drop me a line. Sean, I know you are pretty busy over the next couple of weeks with some shows. So why don't you tell the people where they can find you?
Oh, well, you're probably listening to this when it comes out on this Saturday, which would be the 13th. If you listen to this and you're like, hey, I'm looking for something to do, you should come by the Source Theater in Washington, D.C. at 10 p.m. I'm going to be performing improv with my group Nox. That's N-O-X exclamation point. I'll be performing there on the 13th and the 20th. All of our shows are at 10 o'clock, and you can find tickets on witdc.org.
And I believe Laura Barber is going to be participating in that as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Last week, if you listened to the Herculoids episode, I performed with Laura, and she'll be performing with me on the 13th, not the 20th.
Excellent, but excellent.
She will be around, and she is wonderful.
Another shout-out to Laura. We also have a shout-out to our buddy Matt Barron, who could not be with us tonight. But if you are interested in chatting up Mr. Barron, you can find him on Twitter at Bag of Sandwiches, which is the best. Sean, where can the folks find you on social media?
Twitter and Instagram at Sean Paul Ellis.
And you can find me on Twitter at Dr. Claw MD. If you're interested in more about Saturday morning cartoons, you can also find us on Twitter at Morning Tunes. Remember, that's morning with a U. You can also find us on our webpage where we post things like, oh, I don't know, the Spiral Zone theme song and a character guide, which is the best. Saturday Morning Cartoons. You can also check out all kinds of craziness over at our Tumblr page at SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. I can't wait to see what's up there for this show, to be honest with you.
I need to put some stuff up.
Oh, man, I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait. Just do a lot of tank gifs and all kinds of fun stuff. If you want to drop us a line, let us know how we're doing, let us know what we can improve, or just let us know what shows you'd like to hear covered on the show. Just send us an email over at SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. If you want to listen to us each and every week, you can do so through iTunes and Stitcher. We have both podcast suppliers covered there. I think that's pretty much it for tonight. We ran a little long because this show was nuts, and we had a fun time making fun of it. Hey, guess what, buddy? It's my pick next week.
It is. And Dave, what are you
going to
pick for us
next week? I'm going to pick the character I was named after. Not really. And I was only ever called this once, I think, in school. I was called Davy Crockett a lot, which was fine. Yeah, because kids are stupid. there's really nothing else. Like, what else are you going to call Davy? Like, Davy Crockett. David the Gnome. We're going to cover
the Gnome.
I remember this fondly. I remember David and his wife. I don't remember her name. The little gnomes. I remember Swift the Fox. I remember the forest trolls, but that's about it, man. I'm actually pretty anxious to go back and check this one out. We may have a guest speaker contributor with us next week. We're wonderful. Still trying to lock that down, so we will let you know. We'll tease you. But yeah, we're going to do David the Gnome. It's going to be fun. Old Nickelodeon show.
Very cool. Yeah. I'm excited. I remember watching this on television as well, on Nick as well.
So. It'll be nice. And from what I understand, one of the more wholesome shows that we've probably covered on the show. So it's going to be different. We will see what it's like.
But
we want to thank you guys for listening. If you check out the Spiral Zone, be sure to let us know. But until next time, I'm going to let Sean take us out. So once again, thank you for listening to Saturday Morning Cartoons.
Dave Barron. We ride!